And now, a warrior for the Word of God and the Constitution of the United States, a Marine Corps veteran, a Harvard-trained attorney, Bishop of the Called Churches, and founder and president of STAND. Staying true to America's national destiny, the voice of the awakening, your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
And I am he. Great to be with you again today. It's Friday, folks. First Amendment Friday here on The Awakening. That means I want to get plenty of your calls in. As soon as this first segment is over, I want to come right to the telephones, and I'm sure you've got plenty to talk about, because there is plenty to talk about. But first, just be enjoying yourself. In spite of the craziness going on around us, God is so good. I mean, he really is so good. You know, I think it's the Psalm of David where David says, I don't know what I would do if it weren't for the Lord on my side. And I often say we are on God's side. God is on our side when we are on his side. But the goodness of God is just, it's beyond the ability to fully express it. You all know, if you've heard any of my story, that I spent the first 24 years of my life not knowing God, without God. I mean, I know people who gave their lives to Jesus Christ early on, and I have a kind of godly envy for them, because I say one of my great regrets is that I didn't come sooner. My life would have been so much richer, and I would have been so much better off to have given my life to Jesus Christ earlier than I did. But at 24 years old, almost 25, but still 24, I made that decision, and I'll tell you, I've never regretted it, not for a moment. Not for a moment. And, you know, he gets, if you will forgive the vernacular, he gets gooder and gooder. You know, it's just, yes, indeed. Every day with Jesus is sweeter than the day before. And, you know, that old song says, this joy we have, the world didn't give it, and the world can't take it away. That's the attitude we've got to got. That's the attitude we've got to have. You're not taking my joy away. You're not stealing my joy. I am not letting these leftists and these crazies and the you know, all of the sinful, wicked stuff they're doing. I'm going to take a firm stand against it. But I'm not letting anybody steal my joy, because the joy that I have, the peace that I have, is not something the world gave or something the world can take away. Now, look, if Paul and Silas could be in a Philippian jail, and you all know that jails then weren't like jails now. They weren't in a 6x9 or a 12x18 foot cell with cable television and books and lighting and none of the heat and air conditioning. No. They were in the deepest part of the prison with the rats, the roaches, all kinds of infestation. It would have been pitch black, dark in there. And there Paul and Silas are in there singing the praises of God, singing hymns. And I guess the rest of the prisoners in there must have been thinking, who are these nuts singing about God? Don't they know they're in trouble? Don't they know they're in pain? Don't they know they're suffering? They ought to be moaning and groaning and whining and complaining. And instead, they're singing the praises of God. I'll tell you what, that's advanced Christianity, folks. That's the attitude that we've got to have. Just praise him anyhow, right? We don't praise God because bad things happen, but we praise him in spite of any bad thing that happens, because we know that God is good no matter what happens. So I'm glad to be with you again today, and I just want you to enjoy this day. This is the day the Lord has made. Be glad. Rejoice in it. Now, having said that, it is the weekend. It's First Amendment Friday here on The Awakening. I want to start getting your calls as early as possible. The number is 888-589-8840. Go to church on Sunday, by the way. It is the weekend. If you're here in the Virginia area, we've got several stations here in Virginia. If you're here in the Virginia area, stop by and visit me. I'm at 943 Canal Drive in Chesapeake, 11 a.m. on Sunday morning. We'll be glad to see you. It'd be great to see you. And let's see, what else do we have? Don't forget, you know, I'm doing a daily, it's now called Wisdom Awakening. This is The Awakening. That's the Wisdom Awakening. My television program is going to be called Vision Awakening. We're going to keep awakening until we awaken the American people to the blessing we have in this nation and in this Marxist romanticism that is going on right now in Black Lives Matter and so-called Antifa. What a joke. I mean, they are the fascists. They are the fascists, Antifa, please. And all of these far left groups that are doing nothing but trying to bring the country down. Which brings me to the first thing I was going to raise. You know, it really does irk me. It galls me when a foreign power like communist China can stand down a president and throw back in his face what the citizens have thrown, some of our citizens have thrown up. Can you imagine communist China saying, well, America needs to get its human rights house in order because look at Black Lives Matter. And actually had the nerve to suggest that America is systematically violating the human rights of black people. Folks, that is a lie. The United States of America is not systematically violating anybody's human rights, and that certainly includes Americans of African ancestry. It's not true. And for a country ruled by totalitarian communist thugs and dictators who regularly arrest Christians, torture people, kill people, they're committing genocide against the Uyghurs even as we speak. And they have broad sweeps of Christians raiding underground churches where people are trying to worship God in spirit and in truth, telling them it's against Chinese law for you to be worshiping Jesus. And for them to be in a position to point the finger at the United States and to have a president and a vice president who really don't have anything to say because they're in agreement with the naysayers who are constantly running down our country. They're in agreement with them. So when China brings it up, what can they say? Well, that's not true. See, I could say that's a lie. But what can Biden say? Nothing. He agrees with it. What can Kamala Harris say? Yes, Black Lives Matter. They're brilliant. It's a lie out of the pit of hell. And you know, they know. Look, you know, they would have never done that to Donald Trump. But they know we've got weak-kneed people in office now who barely love their own country. Barely, and I don't know that they do or not, but barely. With a lot of resentment and a lot of attitude and a lot of criticism and a lot of negativism, barely. So when a foreign adversary criticizes your own country, you are disarmed because you've agreed with the people in the country who've been propagating a lie about the nature of our country. I tell you what, folks, it's irksome. It really is. It's irksome. You know what? I would suggest that all the people who agree with communist China about America, go live in communist China and see how it works out for you. Go over there and try to protest. Go over there and establish Black Lives Matter because you think the Chinese communists are protesting, are mistreating you, or discriminating against you. See how long you live. We live in a country where even those of us who disagree will defend the rights of, at least we conservatives, we Christians, will defend the rights of people with whom we disagree to have their say. But unfortunately, we've got people in our country who are taking a page out of Communist China's book and saying, no, we don't agree with you. You are not going to even have an opportunity to have your say. So they might fit better in Communist China, frankly. Well, we've got much more to talk about. Back to your calls in just a moment.
This is Viewpoints with Kirby Anderson. In February, Bill Gates published his book, How to Avoid a Climate Disaster. I took the time to read through it in detail because he has been willing to study the issue in depth and invest major funds through his foundation looking for technological answers and breakthroughs. He understands that if we want to address poverty around the world, we need to provide them with energy without releasing more greenhouse gases. And he also acknowledges he may not be the best spokesman since he lives in a 66,000 square foot home and owns a private jet company. The subtitle of his book explains his vision, the solutions we have, and the breakthroughs we need. If you take the time to read his book, you realize the enormous challenges before us in order to reach the goal of zero carbon emissions by 2050. In the middle of the book, he starts a section with a quick quiz. Which of these contain the most energy? A gallon of gasoline, a stick of dynamite, or hand grenade? The answer is a gallon of gasoline. Which of these is the cheapest in the United States? A gallon of milk, a gallon of orange juice, or a gallon of gasoline? Once again, the answer is a gallon of gasoline. This illustrates the challenge of moving this country away from fossil fuels, which are both energy dense and remarkably cheap. I may not agree with some of the policies Bill Gates has proposed in the past, but I appreciate the fact he lives in the real world. He understands the significant challenges we would face to reduce carbon emissions while also trying to raise the standard of living of the poorest countries in the world. I can think of a number of environmental activists as well as members of Congress that need to read this book. It is an antidote to the cheap environmental cliches tossed around these days. I'm Kirby Anderson, and that's my point of view.
For a free copy of Kirby's booklet, A Biblical View on Loneliness, go to viewpoints.info/loneliness. That's viewpoints.info/loneliness.
The Gospel, the only hope for all. This is Ken Ham, co-author of the book on Noah's global flood, A Flood of Evidence. All this week, we've seen that the religion of atheism can't offer ultimate meaning, purpose, or hope. So what can? Only the Gospel. You see, the biblical message is this: we're all sinners. We've rebelled against a holy God and deserve the just penalty of death. But Jesus Christ, the God-man, stepped into history and died on the cross. He took our penalty of death and our sins upon himself. Then he rose from the grave, conquering death. We all have sinned, but Christ offers forgiveness. When we turn from our sin and believe in him, we receive his righteousness instead of the death we deserve. We are forgiven, adopted, and loved for eternity, and it's a free gift.
Discover thousands of videos, shows, programs, and more on our streaming platform, Answers.tv. It's safe for the entire family and will grow you in your faith. Answers.tv.
Brian Fisher here. A father is jailed for referring to his daughter as his daughter. Rand Paul has a shootout with Dr. Fauci in a congressional hearing. Arizona is doing a hand recount of 2.1 million ballots to check for voter fraud. Biden will ask staffers to resign if they've smoked marijuana. And how safe are Biden's migrant facilities for children? Next on Focal Point.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Well, folks, some guy won the Miss Silver State crown, beauty queen crown. Some guy, yes, a biological male who thinks he's a woman, was given the Miss Silver State USA crown, which is apparently the preliminary competition for Miss Nevada. Aren't we making great progress in our country? We're actually having guys win beauty queen contests. Now, that's what you call progress from a satanic point of view. Fauci got into this war of words with Senator Rand Paul, and thank God that somebody was willing to finally challenge Fauci, who has been treated like some kind of demigod, when in fact, as far as I'm concerned, the man's all over the place, and there's a level of arrogance that he spews forth that is just, it's hard to stomach. It is really hard to stomach. Have the vaccine and then still wear two masks and still social distance and don't go see your grandchildren and all this nonsense. This guy just needs to be put out to pasture, to tell you the truth. CDC apparently is allowing schools now to social distance only 3 feet rather than 6. They have talked to the virus and the virus will stop at 3 feet. It will go no further. I mean, this stuff is so silly. You know, I got to thinking about that. I don't think I have dealt with anybody in the last year who, upon seeing me, stopped 6 feet away. Have you? I can't think of anybody who's done that. I mean, some people like to fist bump or they elbow bump, but you got to get right up on the person to fist bump or elbow bump, right? You know, I don't believe these masks or the social distancing have had anything to do with the decline in cases and deaths. I think this thing is just kind of running its course, and the rest of these so-called scientists are just flailing, hoping to look like they know what they're doing and like they know what they're talking about. I think most of them don't. They're just feeling their way. But, you know, some of them have a God complex anyway, and they think that everybody ought to bow. And Fauci, everybody ought to bow to every word they say. But the polls are showing that the American people have had it with Fauci. They don't want to hear anything he's got to say, and they don't have any credibility in him whatsoever. So it's about time. Oh, by the way, my friend Stacey Abrams, tongue-in-cheek, my friend, is going to be meeting with Biden and Harris, and they're going to be thanking her for the tremendous work she did in Georgia and other places to help bring about the wonderful results of the 2020 election. Yeah, Stacey Abrams is going to have to be dealt with in terms of limiting her political success, accolades, and the only way that's going to happen is it doesn't have to be a very, very serious debate about her as a Marxist. And she is a Marxist, folks. She is a Marxist and anti-capitalist. And frankly, I don't throw this word around lightly, but the left really deserves it. She is a straight-up racist. I mean, she has nerve to be saying that election reform is nothing but Jim Crow in a suit and tie. I mean, that's racist. It has nothing to do with that. She's just basically using race to try to get her way. You know, here's what the Lord spoke to me in my heart. Anybody who sees life through a racial worldview is a racist. So, Stacey, you deserve the accolade, racist. I think I mentioned DeSantis and critical race theory. God bless him. This critical race theory. Oh, one other thing. This Canadian guy who's been arrested for calling his daughter by the female pronoun and by the name that he gave her. The judge ordered him to henceforth refer to her no more as her, as a female, and he violated that order, and the judge has now put the man in jail. You know, some things you just have to shake your head. You really do. Let's go to Letty in Texas. Letty, welcome.
Hi, how are you?
I'm great, Letty. How are you?
Doing fantastic. Love your program.
Good. Thank you.
I was calling. You know, I could comment on so much because, I mean, every day, you know, you've got
right.
glucose and news, and it's not all great. Well, I have yet to hear really anything really good. But the reason I'm calling is because you're blessed already tremendously. You know, you had said about a regret about not coming sooner. Hey, I'm just grateful you made it, and
Amen.
I made it. And there's so many people that are still walking around in the dark.
Yes.
And so we have a lot to be grateful. It's better
yes,
late
do.
Than never.
Yes, indeed.
But you have a wonderful weekend.
Thank you, Letty. Thank you for the call. You are absolutely right. Better late than never. And I'm glad I came when I came. And yes, we have, the media is not going to report this, of course, but there is good news. And the good news is that Jesus Christ came to die on the cross for our sins, that we might have a right to the tree of life. He bore our sins in his own body, went down into hell for us, rose again on the third day to be our Lord, our Savior, our High Priest, our Intercessor, our King forevermore. Folks, that is some good news. I don't care whether the New York Times or the Washington Compost reports it or not. It's the best news going. Let's go to Larry in Indiana. Larry, welcome.
Welcome, sir. How are you this afternoon?
I'm great, Larry. How are you?
Good. I have been waiting about 3 weeks here trying to call in. Your line's always busy, so I started early today. I'm tickled to be able to talk to you.
Well, I'm tickled to be able to talk to you, Larry, so thank you for calling and for persisting.
Well, hey, if you don't first succeed, try again, right?
Amen.
Okay, over 3 weeks ago, somebody called in and they asked if you had a solution to a certain problem. And you answered them, not yet. And, I'm military like you are, and I have a list here, I'll be as brief as I can, of solutions.
Now, what was the problem that I said not yet? Do you remember?
Well, no, it wasn't a problem. Okay. I mean, there is an answer, but you hadn't thought it through yet, and you didn't have a quick answer for me. You said, I don't have an answer yet. Okay, off we go. Several weeks ago, the Senate was given a 5,000-page law, and somebody gave them 2 hours to read it and decide whether to vote yes or no. Do you remember that?
You're talking about the COVID-19, the $1.9 billion bill?
No, I'm not sure which bill it was, but it was 5,000 pages.
I don't remember the 5,000-page bill, but Larry, and your point is?
Okay, solution is if they can't pass laws and make laws crystal clear, the wordage, like Rush Limbaugh says, words mean things. If they can't do that in 50 pages, you vote no automatically.
Right.
Hey, you know, send it back to the drawing board, guys. Get it right this time. Okay.
Larry, that is one solution to one problem. Thank you for the call. I know you've been waiting before, but call me back again, Larry. I appreciate that insight. I have people all the time that I approach to help me. And you know what they often say? Send me a one-page summary. I say, okay. You know, okay. You know, look, 5,000 pages. Who can deal with that? Thank you for the call, Larry. Let's go to Shirley in Tennessee. Shirley, welcome.
Good afternoon or morning, whichever one you are.
afternoon for me.
Good news is the Lord said in his writings, our Holy Bible, that he's going to shorten the time. So no matter what we go through, we know that it's not going to last forever. We just got to hold on and be faithful. And another thing hit my mind, and that is that he also told us that these nations that are coming together in Daniel 2, remember the feet of iron and clay, and then Daniel 11, and then remember Revelation 17, 10 nations come together and give their power and authority over to the Antichrist for a time, but then they turn, the Babylonian symbol, and then they turn and burn her with fire. So he lets us know that many other nations that do come together like they are right now with this vaccine and all that, they're going to turn on each other because greed knows no allegiance. And finally, I wanted to say my cousin just had surgery and she needed 2 blood transfusions at Emory Hospital in Atlanta. And she asked them afterwards, she didn't think of it before, how do we know that this blood that you gave me was not vaccinated blood from a vaccinated person? Because she does not believe in vaccination. They have no answer. So if anybody's going for surgery, just be diligent to go and give blood up front or get yourself a relative who you know is unvaccinated so that they can give blood if you need it. But we praise the Lord because the idea is persecution may come, but in the end, Jesus said, we hold the fort for him. We got heaven forevermore.
Amen. Shirley, thank you so much for the call. We appreciate that. And I hope that your relative who needed the blood transfusions is doing well. And I'm sure everybody who heard that will be saying a prayer for her. Let's go to, I've got to wait. The number is 888-589-8840. But we got off to a good start in that second segment, folks. Got about 3 calls in, and we're going to get some more in the next segment. 888-589-8840. I believe we've got some open lines. We had one caller say that I've been trying for 3 weeks to get through. Well, this is a good time for you to get through. It's First Amendment Friday. I want to give you as much time as I can, as many of you. Can't give each of you too much time, but I'll give as many of you as possible an opportunity to have your say. Back in a moment.
It's my turn. Here is your host for My Turn, Don Wildman.
You probably never heard of Johnny Ring, at least not of the Johnny Ring which I'm speaking of, for Johnny isn't very famous. He did very little which our world considers worthy of fame. Nevertheless, the story of Johnny Ring needs to be passed on. Johnny lived during the war between the states. When a company of soldiers was being organized in the area in which Johnny lived, Johnny asked to be a part of it. However, the captain who was organizing the company had other thoughts. In his thinking, Johnny was too young and too little. The captain refused to take the boy into his group. But Johnny was persistent. If he couldn't be a soldier, he could be a soldier's helper. He asked to go along as the servant of the captain. Following some discussion, the captain agreed to take the boy along as his servant. He liked the boy's desire. "You will be a better soldier if I can help you take care of some of your things," Johnny said. Well, Johnny was a good servant. He kept the captain's boots polished, his tent neat, and his sword shining. But while Johnny was a good servant, he had his differences with his captain. Johnny had promised his mother before she died that he would read the Bible every night. Now, this didn't set well with the captain, for he was an avowed atheist. Johnny would read his Bible in the captain's tent each night before he went to bed. One night, the captain ordered Johnny never to read the Bible in his tent again. Johnny continued to read, often reading while the captain was not in the tent. The troops under the command of the captain were surprised by the enemy one day and forced to retreat across a bridge. The Confederate forces set the bridge on fire. Suddenly, in the midst of battle, Johnny Ring was seen running across the burning bridge. Soldiers on both sides held their fire. Very shortly, the bridge engulfed in flames. They watched as Johnny Ring ran back across, carrying the prized sword of his captain in his hands. As Johnny reached the side where the captain was, he fell to the ground with clothes on fire. Some of the soldiers managed to get the fire out, but it wasn't long before Johnny Ring was dead. After Johnny was buried, the captain began to think seriously about Johnny Ring and his Christian faith. Maybe the faith that Johnny had would help him be like Johnny. And it wasn't too long until the captain embraced the faith of Johnny and claimed the Carpenter of Galilee as his master. Nearly 15 years later, he became a Baptist minister. During his ministry, he founded Temple University, the Temple University Medical Center, and all told raised $11 million for Christian causes. More than once, when questioned about his long hours of work, he would say, "I have to live two lives, mine and Johnny Ring's. Johnny died for me." Like we said, you probably never heard of Johnny Ring. Maybe you have heard of Johnny's captain. His name was Russell Conwell, and he was the founder of Temple University.
This has been My Turn with Don Wildman, a production of the American Family Association.
The Awakening.
The Awakening.
Download and listen at your leisure with the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to our host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
It's First Amendment Friday. We're taking your calls. The number is 888-589-8840, trying to get as many of those in as possible. So for those of you who've tried to call in the past and you found busy lines and haven't been able to get through, some of you I've had to leave hanging because the program ends before I can get to you. Now is your opportunity. 888-589-8840. Let's go to Linda in Tennessee. You've been waiting patiently. Linda, welcome to the program.
Yes, Brother Bishop. I just have two fairly quick comments for you.
Sure.
And one of them is something to make you think. Now, for years, the Democrat Party has professed that they are for the working class families and they're for the poor and they're for the minorities and all this mm-hmm. stuff. Well, if that's true, why do they not bring to light that the main monetary funds that they get are from the richest white men in the nation. I mean, Bill Gates, Zuckerberg, Soros. Yeah, well, they're not for the working man at all, so something to think about. And the second comment that I have is four words. Megan is an actress. Enough said.
Oh, I'll tell you, I love that, Linda. That's about as succinct as you can get. Megan is an actress, okay. Okay, all right. Well, Linda, thank you so much for the call. And look, as to your first comment, that last one, that's funny. You're right. I mean, that, you know, most people aren't thinking about that, but she is, after all, an actress, and she's putting on a show. Look, you have to remember something. The left is exempt. When they talk about the white man, they're not talking about themselves because, you see, they're superior. They transcend those categories because they're so woke. They're so morally enlightened. They're going to save us from climate change. They're going to save us from social injustice. They're going to save us from whatever we need salvation from. You know, forget about Jesus. We don't need Jesus because we have them. And the fact that in many instances they happen to be American males of European ancestry, the group that they often denigrate, that the left often denigrates, but that doesn't count for them because they're special. They're exceptional. Now all the other, quote unquote, white men, oh, now that's a different matter. Oh, man, they... From the left's perspective, the rest of them are the dregs of the earth, but not the special ones. The special ones are different. I know, folks. Don't meditate on that. It's enough to make you ruin your weekend or throw up your dinner. I mean, it's just disgusting. The whole thing. Look, folks. Let me say that I'm coming right back to your calls. But the approach that is being taken on a racial basis against Americans of European ancestry as what they call white people and the white male, the white of the old white men, is as racist as Hitler's racist as Hitler's descriptions of and hot rhetoric against Jewish people. We shouldn't be doing that in America. We shouldn't be doing it to anybody based on the color of their skin. Anybody without exception. And yet, they're doing it and everybody kind of traffics in it and it's cool. It's disgusting is what it is. Okay, let's come to Eric in North Carolina. Eric, welcome to the program.
Yes, good afternoon, sir. Thank you for having me on your show.
Well, thank you for calling in.
I was calling to talk about H.R. 1, or now S.1. I emailed a friend of mine recently about this to express some concerns. I love America. I love the Constitution. And I believe that the power to regulate federal elections as far as the time, place, and manner belongs in the hands of the state legislatures, where the framers put it.
Exactly.
And this election fraud and things that people are concerned about, if we have those concerns, I don't think same-day registration and broad mail-in absentee voting and prohibiting voter ID measures and impeding enforcement of existing law for non-citizens and instant voting upon release for felons is going to help any of that, much less an unelected ethics commission and easing the path for the IRS to target nonprofit groups. These are some of the things that I mentioned to him. And you know what he told me in reply?
What?
He said to me that the federal government has a history of stepping in because of racism perpetuated by states making it difficult for blacks to vote, and that it was probably the black vote rising in the southern states, particularly Georgia, that caused the Republicans to lose. And the Republicans would like to suppress the black vote again, and if that black vote went toward Republicans, there wouldn't be a movement to suppress it. I think I'm detecting some premises with which I disagree, but I wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Yeah. Well, Eric, thank you so much for the call. And look, I have heard this too. I mean, it's not new. Here's the problem of that with that analysis. Why is it that any policy or law would disproportionately impact the ability of black people to vote? I don't understand that. What, are black people only able to vote by mail? Are black people only able to register and vote the same day? Are they not able to obtain IDs? You know, here again, folks, this stuff infantilizes black people. And for those of you who want to answer, folks, say, what, the next time somebody says something like that to you, say this: why do you treat black people like infants? Why, as if they're especially handicapped and need a special dispensation in order to fulfill their responsibility? Because that's what it says. Yeah, I wrote about this recently, and I'm sure you all have an opportunity to see it when time comes. But what I said was, you can sugarcoat this all you want, and you can play around with it and try to make it sound right. But here's what it boils down to. Black people, according to the left, are inferior and incapable of meeting the same standards of other people. So you have to engage in special dispensations in order to somehow corral them into fulfilling the responsibility that other people will fulfill without that special treatment. Now, you know what they call that? Racist. Let's see. Let's get back to your calls. I've got time, I think, for one more before we have to take the next break. Thank you for the call, though, Eric. Let's go to V in North Carolina. V, welcome.
Hey, how are you doing? Thank you for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
I just wanted to encourage us a little bit and kind of reiterate some things I've heard recently on your show. One is that, you know, all things that are happening in our country and in the world, but specifically our nation, there's a design behind it. If you think about it, I don't watch a whole lot of TV and news these days, but I've not seen or heard too much about riots or Black Lives Matter movements and different things happening on a day-to-day basis. And I believe because, you know, some of the ideas that the left have wanted to accomplish have been accomplished so far. So there's no need to put that out there anymore. But there's a reason why we don't hear and see about that anymore. But once more, you know, I was listening to you yesterday, and you spoke about someone who spoke about psychological operations.
And yeah, right. Psychological warfare. Yep.
Yes, yes. So what that is basically a distraction. There's a method to influence individuals to think and believe one thing while something else is going on the other side. So if you look at our situation in the last, I don't know, couple of years, maybe 10 years, there's been a lot of things that have drawn a lot of attention to one direction. And it's done on purpose. A lot of fires are put out.
Yeah.
So when we're all so busy looking at those things over there, we are less able to really see what's actually happening in front of our face.
Listen, I agree with you, V. Thank you so much for the call. You're on target. And I think you're right. I think that game is being played. We talked about that with regard to these shootings in Atlanta. Missing the big picture. Stand by, folks. Back in a moment.
The American Family Association's mission is to inform, equip, and activate individuals to strengthen the moral foundations of our culture. We also support the church. Our goal is to be a leading organization in biblical worldview training for cultural transformation. Here's another of our core values. AFA believes that all men and women, whether in private or public, should be free to exercise their faith without hindrance from the government. Thank you for standing with AFA, and we thank you for your support.
I'm Francine Perry. I am the mother of Laura Perry, who was a prodigal for 9 years. And I would just like to tell you that prayer changes things. Yes, you grieve over the prodigal, but God will comfort you. The Holy Spirit will comfort you.
Submit a prayer request for a prodigal at inhisimage.movie/prayer.
My heart's desire is that more churches would start a prodigal box because we all have someone.
inhisimage.movie/prayer.
80% of the time, an abortion-minded mother who views an ultrasound or sonogram of her baby will choose life. Here's the story of Candace.
The sonogram sealed the deal for me. My baby was like this tiny little spectrum of hope. And I saw his heart beating on the screen. And knowing that there's life growing inside, I mean, that sonogram changed my life. I went from just Candace to mom. Thank you to everybody that has given these gifts. You guys are giving more than money. You guys are giving love.
There are currently preborn centers which do not have an ultrasound machine. Would you sponsor a machine today? Dial pound 250 and say keyword baby. That's pound 250 and say baby. Or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Your love can save a life.
I've told many parents that are doing, again, often what they think is God's work, of I am continuing to teach.
Being an effective parent looks different than you might think, as Dr. Ken Wilgus suggests on Focus on the Family Minute.
My favorite is, well, what did she say after you finished saying that? Nothing, but you could tell. And I'm like, no, what's happening is that you are basically on a raft way out in the ocean, just about to cross over the horizon, and they can barely hear this blah blah that you've been saying now for the last 17 years, and your chance of being heard at all is just about gone if you keep doing this childish technique of teaching, demanding, controlling. If you want to be effective, you have to rethink how you communicate with them.
As your teen launches into adulthood, reconsider how you communicate with them. More insights from Dr. Wilgus at FamilyMinute.org.
Back to The Awakening with Bishop E.W. Jackson on American Family Radio.
All right, we're back. This is First Amendment Friday. We're taking your calls primarily. Any subject is on the table. Number is 888-589-8840. And let's get right back to it. Let's go to Tim in Mississippi. Tim, welcome.
Yeah, thank you for taking my call. I want to, first of all, say I appreciate your transparency. I believe that some people say you're colorblind, and I just love the way that you just, what's on your mind comes out. I appreciate that.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Tim. Not everybody does, so I appreciate that.
I about our latest stimulus check, I was at a Bible study last week, and the host's wife asked, do you know how much $1.9 trillion is? And I said, it's a lot of money. You know, we talk billions and trillions, so it's just another number, just another whatever.
Yeah.
So she had an article and put it in perspective as towards seconds. And I Googled this, and this is what I came up with. 1 million seconds equals 11.5 days. 1 billion seconds equals 32.7 years. 1 trillion seconds equals 31,700 years. When you multiply that by 1.9, that's 60,200 years of seconds. That's a lot of money.
Yeah, it's a lot of money. And it's our money, and we're going into debt for it. And I'll tell you, this stuff has just got to stop. And particularly since we know that I forget the number now, the exact number, and I think something like 6% of this money is actually going for COVID relief, completely ignoring some real needs that there are out there and just rewarding all of their little leftist friends, you know, the National Endowment of the Arts and all this nonsense. I mean, This thing is a boondoggle, and it's what they always do. And by the way, Republicans and Democrats have been guilty of this. So this is not just a Democrat problem, but right now it's the Democrats who are pushing this thing and just driving the American people deeper into debt. And our grandchildren, and maybe even great-grandchildren, if Jesus tarries, are going to confront this thing. This thing can't go on forever. There is going to come a day of reckoning. So, yeah, Tim, that's a lot of money. Thank you for putting that in perspective for us. We appreciate that. Let's go to Donna in Pennsylvania. Donna, welcome.
Thank you. Like most of the people who call, I am so distraught about our country, and I know the Lord's in control. But when I want to do whatever I can, and so I try to call my representatives and my senators, and I tried to call recently about HR1, or now I guess it's called S1, and it's very difficult to get through. Sometimes you are able to let a message, sometimes you're not. Sometimes someone will call you back, never the candidate or whatever he is. But the other thing was, I am not able to email, and I have heard on your radio station that calls are more effective. But recently I heard Mitch McConnell on, I think it was the American, I forget which program, Family Research Council. And he was saying this HR1, he called it, is the worst legislation he's ever been involved with in his whole career. But then, I mean, the Equality Act is terrible also. Yeah. And I understand that now he has flip-flopped his position on that. But he, first he said he was not for it. Now he's voting with it. And, you know, I just feel
He's voting with HR. Are you saying, Donna, you've heard he's voting with HR1?
I'm talking about two different bills, the Equality Act.
But so you think he's going to vote for the Equality Act now?
That's what I heard, and I don't know where I heard it. Okay. But, you know, I know when, as I say, I'm sorry if I'm confusing you. I'm talking about
I just wanted to be clear. I mean, I don't particularly trust Mitch McConnell to be consistent. So it doesn't surprise me either way.
You know, I just feel so helpless. I guess I do what I can. I call, but, you know, I guess it's a rhetorical question. What else can I do? So,
well, Donna, I've got you. Donna, thank you for the call. Don't feel helpless. Don't feel hopeless. And I, please don't forgive me. I do not mean to be cliche, but remember that our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. We dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name, on Christ, the solid rock we stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Now, you're doing the right thing. You're calling. I know you're praying. You can get active with people who are of like mind and help them. I'm sure you've tried to help us here at AFR because we're making a contribution. We're making an impact on our culture every single day. You can get involved with any number of organizations. Mine is one of them. StandAmerica.us is our website. But there are many, many others. But just stay involved and let the Holy Spirit lead you. Pray and say, Lord, what's the most effective thing I can do? How can I be most effective in trying to change the direction of our country and help my fellow citizens to see the light? And I'm sure God will show you exactly what you need to do, Donna. So thank you so much for the call. And look, thank you for your patriotism and your concern. Look, we are all right to be concerned because we've got plenty to be concerned about. But as you pointed out, God is still on the throne. And those of us who put our trust in him, the Bible says, will not be ashamed. Let's go to Roger in Arkansas. Roger, welcome.
Yes, Bishop.
Yes, sir. I'm doing great. Good to hear from you.
Glad to hear your program. What I'm wondering, if we do away with the IDs at this deal, why don't we just do away with registration and everything?
Wow. You know, Roger, you make an excellent point. Why don't we just let anybody who shows up vote? Because, I mean, I really think...
And go vote one precinct, go to the next one and vote?
Yeah, vote as many times as they want to. What's the point? What's the difference? I mean, you know, you make a good point here because we're told that there's no such thing as voter fraud. This is what the mainstream media keeps telling us. This is what the left keeps telling us. So why don't we just do away with all regulations? You're right. Just do away with the registration. Just count whatever votes that come in. You know, I think they would love that system, by the way. I think they just don't believe they could get away with it, but I think they would love that because then they could just cheat without any consequences whatsoever. So you're right, Roger. See, I think voting ought to be a personal responsibility, not a corporate or collective activity. And I know we vote at the same time, presumably. We vote in the same elections. But each person should be making that decision on the basis of his or her own conscience, not on the basis of somebody showing up and say, here, vote this way. Here, come with us now to the polls. We got to do this. I mean, that's machine politics, and it's a violation of individual liberty and personal responsibility. But the Democrats, of course, don't value the individual. Everybody's a group, and everybody's part of a group identity, and that's all that really matters, right? Not in the United States of America. It's not supposed to work that way. Thank you for the call, Roger. Let's go to Jake, also in Arkansas. Jake, welcome.
Yeah. Hello, Bishop. What I want to talk about, when I was a young man, didn't know no better. My mother, there was nine of us. She taught us all to be Democrats. But when I got on my own and got my own kids, and I think my boy was like 23 years old, he said, "I can't believe you're a Democrat." And he set me down and he showed me everything that was going on. And then I switched over to Republican. And my mother also taught us to be racist. She said, never trust a white man for anything. And then when I started, like I go back when I started working, a white man gave me the best job. Then he got me another job. And everywhere I went, I never worked for a black person. I always worked for a white person. Then when I started preaching and I learned God's word, and God says, I love everybody. And John 1, God said that we should love one another. So I always taught my kids, never be a racist, because that won't work. And I tell you about the Democrats, what they're doing, they are trying to divide this country. They're trying to make everything divided, take the black people to be against the white people, so that way they can control. As long as they got us to divide it, they can control us. But I can't get the people, even in the church that I preach at, they need to wake up and see what they trying to do to this country, what they doing to this country, because they are destroying us a little bit at a time.
All right, Jake, you keep preaching like that. Believe me, they will wake up. I guarantee you, because the word and the truth have a power of their own that simply cannot be resisted for very long. I say the word's going to impact you one way or the other. It's either going to get you to heaven and get you awakened, get you right, or it's going to condemn you to hell because you're going to ignore it. And believe me, that's not a good outcome, folks, ignoring the word of God. So thank you, Jake. Let's go to Monroe in Oklahoma. Monroe, welcome.
Thank you, Brother Jackson. Me and my wife both wish that you were our pastor. Just love you so much.
Well, thank you, brother. Thank you.
Yes, sir. And listen to you every day. I just wanted to mention, you were hitting the vaccine topic yesterday pretty hard. And I don't know if you know who Sherry Tenpenny is, but she's been in the medical field for many years. And the only reason I saw her was I was just flipping around on the TV and I saw Daystar, and they had her as a guest talking about the COVID. Well, she's very knowledgeable, and I just, admonish you to watch the YouTube. I believe it's Dr. Sherry Tenpenny, Shot in the Dark, and it should come up on YouTube. But it's like a 20-minute little talk. She gives an interview, and, man, she described what that RNA vaccine does, and it'll just make you say, what is this, a bioweapon? I mean, you really ought to listen to her and maybe even try to have her on as a guest, because I know she's a Christian lady.
All right. All right, Monroe. Listen, I'm close to the end of the program, but I think I've seen her, but I have not watched her entire presentation, but I will now. And thank you for the suggestion, Monroe. And thank you so much for the encouraging words. Let's go to Kelly, also in Arkansas. Quite a few from Arkansas today. Kelly, you've got about 10 seconds. Go for it.
I want your opinion on the children at the border, and I want to apologize for being white and a Democrat, but I do want your opinion. So just tell me what we need to do about those children.
Thank you, Kelly. Wow, well, what a way to end the program. First of all, you don't need to apologize for being white. You might need to apologize to God for being a Democrat, but I'll leave that between you and him. But I love you anyway, Kelly. Look, the color of your skin doesn't matter, brother. What we ought to do for the children at the border is we ought to get with those countries that are responsible for abusing these folks and forcing them, causing them to want to come into our country illegally. We can't answer their problems. I got to go, folks. We cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.